Well, good morning. Brother David, he's been in Australia. He's got jet lag. And so we understand. I've had jet lag before, too. I have some notes for you in the bulletin, but this is really for the Sunday school hour, okay? So that's the explanation of that. And then in the morning service hour, I don't know. I'm not used to preaching with a PowerPoint and everything all the time, and so I just felt that I'll just rear back and preach in the morning service and the afternoon service. And, of course, all of it will have to do with missions, and if you listen carefully, you'll understand many of the aspects of the Word of God where God tries to inform us concerning mission work. Every Christian has to be involved. And this morning in this session, we're going to see some churches in Macedonia that were very involved in trying to give and sacrificially and help others in other places. And the principle of this particular passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 9, is a good passage that shows how faith promise or grace giving is very important in the church and in the life of the believer. And so this will be the session where we'll actually get to the principle of it. And so if you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And if you would stand with me, I would like for us all to read together these 9 verses and see these 9 verses and see what Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, but he's referring to the example of the churches of Macedonia, okay? So let's read these together. We'll begin in verse number 1 and read down through verse number 9. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you this grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in prayer, in utterance, knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know that the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, bless our time together in these few moments of the Sunday school hour. We pray that the folks here will understand what's involved in this passage and others that will be mentioned in the Sunday school lesson. And we pray that you will help each one to realize that we can do something in getting the gospel out, but if we by faith do something with God's help, it can even be greater, and we can be blessed in the process. So use this this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Now, in the text that we just read together, there's an example of faith promise giving, or some refer to it as grace giving. 1 year prior to the writing of this epistle to the church at Corinth, the church at Corinth had promised Paul that they were going to give toward the believers in Jerusalem that were really suffering, especially financially. You see, when the Jewish person would trust in Christ, then the Jewish family would say, "You're not part of our family anymore. Get out." And they may lose their employment, they may lose their place of dwelling, they may lose a lot of different things. And so there was a lot of persecution by their own families and their own people. And so the Christians in Jerusalem were suffering. And so Paul had gone around and started talking to Christians in other places and said, let's do something to help these Christians, at least on a temporary basis, because of what they're going through. And one year later, they had not fulfilled giving their offering, their church at Corinth. And so we note how 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 10 reads. That's one verse after the text that we read. "And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you." And he's talking to the Corinthian church. It's in the book of Corinthians. "Ye have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago." In other words, apparently he was in Corinth, and he had presented this need of the Christians in Jerusalem. And the church had said, "We're going to give toward helping these Christians in Jerusalem." And so Paul challenges the Corinthians about their unfulfilled promise, giving them the example of the Macedonians. In other words, after he left Corinth, he went into Macedonia and he was talking to the Christians in Macedonia. And they immediately said, "We're going to do something about this too." And they came through with their offering, whereas Corinth had not actually given theirs up to this time. And so he's writing in the book of 2 Corinthians saying, "I'm going to be coming around, and I hope that you will have collected the offering that you're going to give to help the needy saints in Jerusalem." In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2, it says this, "For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and in your zeal hath provoked very many." In other words, when they said they were going to give, then the next place he went, he was saying, "By the way, the church in Corinth is going to give." Well, then the people in Macedonia and Achaia and all these other places said, "Well, if they're going to give, then we need to take up an offering too, you see, and help those saints in Jerusalem." And so by sharing the example of the saints in Corinth, the saints in Macedonia gave, and now Paul is using the example of the Macedonians to encourage the Corinthians to follow through and do what they had said that they would do. Now I want you to notice these verses as we look at them briefly this morning. You'll notice here this is about grace giving or faith promise giving. In other words, the Corinthian church had promised, and Paul was saying, "Okay, follow through and do what you've promised to do." And so first I want you to notice in verse number 5 who they gave to. First they gave themselves to the Lord. In other words, they were committed totally to the Lord. And in verse number 5 it says, "And this they did not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord." Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service." Now, faith promise giving isn't a problem if a person is totally committed to the Lord and realizes that all that we have and all that we are is really the Lord's. And if we realize that, then what we're doing, God is going to give to us, and instead of us taking it and sticking it in our pocket, we're just passing it on to do what God has impressed upon our hearts to get done with what's something that God gave us. So by faith, we're trusting God to supply for us so that we can turn around and supply for someone else. And if you believe that God can take care of you, and some of you were in at the fellowship, the potluck fellowship, and we talked about this a little bit at that particular session. You know, if we really believe in God and we trust in the Lord and we believe that God can take care of us, then we also believe that God can supply so that others can be taken care of through us. And in the second place, there in verse number 5, it says, "And unto us by the will of God." In other words, they felt moved by the will of God to give to Paul and his team so that it could be shared with the saints in Jerusalem. And God's will for laboring in the vineyard is seen in John chapter 15, verse 16. "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." So who did they give to? Well, first of all, they gave to the Lord, and then they were willing of themselves to give to others so that it could be shared with those that were in need. In the second place, we notice that what they gave. In verse number 3, it says here, verse number 5, it says, gave their own selves to the Lord. And I want you to notice the difference in the phrase. In the first time I use this verse, Romans 12:1, I talk about acceptable unto God. In the second place, I want you to notice in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." You see, I'm stressing a different phrase in the verse. Our bodies belong to the Lord, and it should be a living sacrifice in this particular case. So first, they gave themselves to the Lord. And what they gave their own selves. Have you turned your life over to the Lord? Do you realize that when Jesus died for you and you accepted salvation in Him, now you're not your own, you belong to God? Have you really committed everything in your life to the Lord? Do you realize that He's the one that purchased you and saved you from sin, you see? And in the second place, they gave to others. They were willing of themselves. In Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, Paul talks about how his heart felt concerning his own people. Notice what it says in verse 1. "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness, continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish myself to be accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." So they gave themselves. They gave themselves unto the Lord, but then they also gave of themselves to others. And Paul, you know, really had a great burden for those, the Jewish people. And yet many of the Jewish people would not listen to his message, you see. He would go into the synagogue first, and they wouldn't receive him, and they would push him out of the synagogue. So what would he do? Well, then he would go to the Gentiles, and he would meet somewhere else, and he would continue to propagate the gospel, and people would be saved. But he gave the Jews an opportunity at the beginning. Now, some of you may have family members that are unsaved, that have not trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Paul said, "I would wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren." Now, that's impossible. God's not going to do that because He died for all. But that shows the heaviness of his heart for the salvation of his kinsmen. And we need to really do what we can in prayer and in speaking with our relatives, trying to make sure that all make it into heaven one day. And it's important that we do that. And then, too, you can always get a friend to go and talk to them. If you've already talked to them and they're not too receptive to you, then get somebody else that's a Christian and ask them, would you be willing to talk with my aunt or my uncle or whoever it may be? And maybe they'll listen to you. I had a young lady in the church in the islands, and I was trying to think where the island was. I've ministered in so many of those islands in the West Indies that I can't remember. It was Calvary Baptist Church. And a lady came up and she said, my father's in the hospital and he's sick and it will be terminal sometime in the near future. I said, well, I'll be happy to go and talk with your father. And I did. I took some tracts with me and I went and I read some scripture to him and I explained the tract to him and explained salvation to him. And I said, sir, do you feel that you're ready to really believe what I'm talking about here? And would you like to trust Christ as your personal Savior? He said, no, I don't think I'm ready for that. And I said, that's fine. I said, but I'm going to leave the tract, and you can read it over and think about it, because this is an important decision that you really need to make in your life. And so I left. A couple weeks later, I went back and talked to him again and prayed with him, read some scripture to him, and he wasn't ready. The third time I went to see him, we were talking, and I had read some scripture, and I was getting ready to pray, and he said, Pastor, I think I'm ready today. I said, good. Let's pray and ask the Lord to save you. And he did. And just a few days after that, I left the island, left the church ministry. I was just there for a time. And about 2 weeks later, I got a message from one of the members of the church, Calvary Baptist Church. And he called me and he said, Pastor, I just want to let you know that brother that you were talking to in the hospital, he went home to be with the Lord yesterday. But he was saved. And the daughter was very grateful that I took a little time, talked with him, prayed with him, and he finally trusted Christ as his personal Savior. And so you may be the one that someone else comes to and says, would you go talk to my relative? I can't seem to say it right, but maybe they'll listen to you. You're a stranger. You're somebody they don't really know. Maybe they'll let you talk to them. And so, you know, we need to use strategy. We need to be as harmless as doves, but we need to be as smart as the foxes. I mean, you know, we really need to realize that sometimes, a word here and there and a verse and a track and a text and, you know, you never know what is going to be the thing that will cause a person to turn around and realize that this is serious business. This is serious business. It's the difference between life with the Lord in eternity and death and separation from God for all eternity. So what they gave their own selves to the Lord and of themselves to others. And then we also have why they gave. I think they gave because Christ gave. That's why they gave. They were very thankful for what God had done for them, and they were saying, Jesus really gave. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, it says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You see, so why should we give? We should give because we ought to be thankful that we're saved and that we know it worked for us and it can work for others too. And so we need to really give. Paul gave three reasons in his writings in Corinthians. The first reason was in relation to, of Paul's reasons, the love of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, the Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead." So it's because of Christ's love for the world that we too should love. You see, because Christ isn't here now, we are here now. We're the representative. We're the person people can get in contact with. And so we need to be faithful in giving out the gospel. And then, of course, another place in his writings, Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:10 said, "The judgment seat of Christ." Someday we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. So if we've got to face the judgment seat of Christ, now this isn't judgment in relation to salvation, this is judgment in relation to rewards, you see. Some people say, "Well, I'm saved. Praise the Lord. Everything is done." No, everything's not done. We have to occupy till He comes. We have to be faithful in propagating the gospel until the Lord returns, you see. And I want, when I stand before the Lord and receive the crowns, which I'm going to turn around and cast at His feet anyway, I want him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And then, of course, another thing that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, is the judgment seat of Christ. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." And so Paul is talking to the Corinthian church here in 2 Corinthians, and he says, "Listen, we have a time before us when we have to give an account, and we must be faithful in carrying out the commission of the Lord and doing what God wants us to do while we're still living here on this earth. It's just not that we're here and we just have a good time. We're here for a purpose, and that's to carry out the work of the Lord." And then notice another thing that is taught here in Corinthians, how they gave. First of all, by the will of God. And then, in the second place, they gave liberally, yet they were in deep poverty. In other words, they really sacrificed and gave, and knowing that God would take care of them. And in their deep poverty, they gave. And in the third place, with much entreaty, they begged the team that Paul was with, "We want you to take this offering, and we want you to make sure it gets to the suffering saints in Jerusalem." And so they begged them to receive the offering and take it and get it there so that it helps them. And then, of course, sacrificially they gave to their power. The phrase in verse number 3, to their power. That means a person does what they can do. Okay? In your faith promise, at least do what you can do. You hear me? At least do what you can do. That's the least you can do, you see. But also, I think that you need to give by faith. In other words, beyond your power. It's important for us to realize that we need to do all we can do, but we need to allow God to do all He can do. You know, it gets exciting when you just open yourself up and say, "Lord, I want you to use me as a vessel. I want you to use me as a channel." And, you know, when you begin a conversation with somebody about Christ, you never know what's going to happen. But hopefully, by faith, you're trusting that this person will express faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust them as their personal Savior. But if you never speak to somebody, they may never be saved. You understand me? See, we have to step out by faith. And, you know, you live by faith. All of you are living by faith right now. You're sitting in chairs. You didn't examine it when you came in. You just flopped down in it. Right? And it's going to hold you up. Well, one day you may come in here and one of you sat down real hard and the seat goes to the floor. You'll say, whoa, I didn't believe. Listen, I didn't believe that was going to happen. You understand me? You get in your vehicle and you turn the key. And by faith, you're trusting that the battery is going to put power in the engine and it's going to turn over and the gasoline will come in and everything is going to work and whoom, and the car starts out. You're living by faith. You're living by faith. At night when you're driving, you turn the headlights on. Why? Because you're living by faith. You see about 200 feet in front of you, and when you get 200 feet down the road, then you see another 200 feet. You're living by faith. Hey, it's time for us to get the gospel out by faith. That's what the missionary is doing. And we, as an individual Christian, can be involved in the process. You see, we can make it possible for the missionary to go where we will not be able to go. But we can help them go there and do that. And they're doing it, in essence, as a representative of us. You see. So we can get plugged in. How in the world are you going to fulfill the Great Commission in your life if you don't give to missions? You can't, because you'll never go to, maybe you'll never be in China. Maybe you'll never be in many of the countries of the world as a person physically. But by faith and by supporting missionaries, you can reach people in the different continents around the globe. You see. And if all Christians get actively involved, it makes a great difference. You see. And then I want you to notice some, just some different passages. Let me read a couple verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 to 11. Now, we read some of these at the beginning of the lesson, but notice what it says. Therefore, as ye abound in everything... Now, God wants you to be actively involved. What's He want you to actively be involved in? In faith, in utterance, that means you're going to speak about it. And knowledge, that means you're going to study the Word of God. And in all diligence, that means you're going to be on time, and you're going to do it when it ought to be done. And in your love to us, in other words, you need to be, if you want others to love you, you have to love them. If you want a friend, you have to be friendly. You understand? And see that you abound in, now notice, in this grace also. In the context, the grace he's talking about is the grace of giving. That's what he's talking about. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. If you really believe what the Bible says, and you believe that we're to propagate the gospel, then put your money where do what you say. Put it where your mouth is, okay? Put up. If not, shut up. But see, if you shut up, then you have to stand before the Lord, and He's going to say, you've not been faithful while you've walked on earth, and you haven't propagated the gospel. But there is an opportunity for everyone to be involved, you see. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice. for this is expedient for you. He's talking to the Corinthian believers, but now he's talking to us here this morning. This is expedient for you who have begun before, and not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Probably many of you have been involved in the faith promise giving. You say, oh, I've done it for so many years, I was going to take a break. No, don't take a break. You know, you want to make sure that you be faithful. Do what you said, what you've been doing. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. And out of what you have. What has God given you? You ought to be giving out of that, but then say, Lord, give to me something that I don't have that I can also give to. And he will do it. The Macedonians were practicing grace giving. Grace giving is like faith promise. It includes both sacrificial and faith giving, as well as abundance giving. Now Paul exhorts the Corinthians to abound in grace giving and commissions Titus to go to Corinth with the mission of seeing it is completed. We read that in the text at the very beginning. Notice what it says here in verse number 6. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. So Paul sent Titus to Corinth and said, I want you to preach some messages and teach some lessons on this matter of grace giving, so that the Corinthian Christians realize the importance of what they have said they will do, that they go ahead and follow through and do that very thing. Then notice some other passages. Notice this passage that we have on the screen. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What are you sowing? What do you feel is important in your life? Sometimes we misdirect things in our lives, and we think a car is important, or a house is important, or getting education is important. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a house, a car, or education. I've got an education. I have a house. I have a car. It's a used car, but it's a car. It gets me around. So I'm not saying. But the thing is, the things I have, I feel are necessary so that I can do what I'm here on earth to do. The house isn't a luxurious house. The car is a used car. I mean, what I'm trying to get across to you is, let's make sure we have our priorities right and that we're doing what God really wants us to do. And let's make sure that we're sowing, because without sowing, you don't reap. You understand me? How many people have you talked to about the Lord this year? Personally. How many have you won to the Lord? How many have trusted in Christ? Would you like to see that change in your life? The verse says here in Galatians, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You say, well, I've gone and I've passed out tracts and people are not too receptive. Well, maybe if you pass out 10 times the number of tracts, you'll find one that's receptive. You get what I'm saying? It's kind of like the salesman. He's trying to sell his product, and he talks to 10 people, and 1 out of 10 says, okay, I'll buy it. Well, have you got to the 10th one yet? Notice another passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. The Bible says there, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Now, this is a principle that's in the Word of God. If you have a garden and you plant one tomato plant, you may get, maybe, if everything goes well, you may get a dozen or so tomatoes. But if you really love tomatoes, then you're going to plant 10 tomato plants, right? We have a friend back home, a deaf man, and he puts in a garden every year. But when he puts his garden in, he puts it in so that he gets tomatoes and corn and beans and squash, and then it's more than he can use, so he's bringing it to the church and giving it away. He sowed bountifully and reaped bountifully. So the more we emphasize winning people to the Lord and helping missionaries, the more people will be saved. That's what that verse is saying. Notice another passage of Scripture. Luke 6:38. Jesus said this, "Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Now that's a promise. Jesus said that to believers. That's a promise. God's going to take care of you. But you see, we have a lost world to reach, and we have other Christians that may have needs, and especially missionaries that need help to go to a field. And the reason they need help to go to the field is because they can't go and be gainfully employed in these foreign countries. So that means they have to have their finances up front so that they can go and freely work and do what they're there to do, you see. And so this passage shows that if you give, God's going to give back. Notice another passage. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 2 to 5. "Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay." I've heard a couple comments about, you know, faith promise. When it gets down toward the end of the year, the offerings are not coming in as regularly as they were at the beginning of the year. Remember, and this isn't the only passage, but if you make a commitment and you're not making it to the church, you're not making it to the pastor, you're making it to God. You're not signing your name on the sheet. No one knows who fills that out but you and God. You're making a commitment to God that you're going to trust Him by faith to help you give so that missionaries can go. Fulfill it. Why? Because it's good for you if you do. And then notice 2 Corinthians 9:8. The Bible says here, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things." Notice that word "all." Such a little word, but it encompasses so much. "You always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work." God wants every Christian to abound in the Christian life. But by faith, we have to trust Him so that He can do it. The Lord is ready to give any Christian or church with the grace of giving if they'll commit themselves to Him. And since He will exercise it through the recipient. I want you to notice another passage here. And I don't have time to really do an exposition of all of what's in 2 Corinthians here. But in 2 Corinthians 9:10, notice what the Bible says. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. In other words, he's going to take care of the one that is ministering. And multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Another passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice what it says there in in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. I want to read these verses and think about what these verses are saying. In verse number 10, the Bible says, "For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible." That's talking about Paul. He wasn't a big, strong, muscular man. Apparently, he was small in stature and maybe stooped over and had poor vision. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such will be we be also indeed when we are present. And then notice verse 12. "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but them measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we are come as far to you also in the preaching of the gospel of Christ." If you do a little study in these verses here, and in surrounding verses, we find that the word measure here is found five times in this passage. And God commanded him to evangelize the world. He was to reach the Gentiles. That's who Paul was supposed to go out and reach. That was his measure. Now, I don't know what God's measure is for you as a believer. But God wants you to reach some folks too. He has a measure for you. You need to find out what He wants you to do. And one of the things He wants you to do is to give to missions so that the Great Commission in your life can be fulfilled. Why? Because you can't be in all those places yourself. So he's hopeful that when their faith was enlarged, that's what he was telling them in Corinth, that he had carved out a part of the world, and this was Paul's measure. But what was the Corinthians' measure? What did God want them to carve out and do? What does God want you to carve out? What's your measure? You see, it's important that we really give by grace giving. And in order to reach the world, it's going to take every Christian and every church launching out by faith and trusting God by His grace to use us as channels for His supply of the finances and the manpower. Are we ever going to reach the ever-growing population that's in the world today? Well, I'll tell you. The answer is this. If God's in control, we can do it. Sad thing is, God's not in control. God's not in control. Our churches are not revived. They're not excited. They're not raising up people to go and give the gospel out. like the early church. But we can do something at Heritage, and by faith, we can be those that reach out and are faithful to the task that God has us to do. God help you to make sure you do your part. Why? Because you'll be held accountable. You have to stand before the Lord one day and give an answer. And He knows. So let's make Him be proud of us, and He'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Dear Heavenly Father, bless to our hearts that...